All right, getting ready to dive into the minds of like elite athletes, you know, those at the top of their game. We're talking Michael Phelps, Simone Biles, Serena Williams, people who just dominate. And I know you're all here because you want to know their secrets, right? Where, how do they do it? Well, you guys sent in this excerpt from The Champion's Mindset, all about like the mental strategies these athletes use. And let me tell you, it's way more interesting than your typical self-help stuff.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's really about the science, you know, not some magical athlete mindset you're just born with, but actual techniques they've honed over years, and that gives them a real edge.
Okay, so first up in the excerpt visualization, I'll admit I used to think this was just like positive thinking, but then Michael Phelps, 28 Olympic medals, gotta mean something, right?
It's not just thinking positive, it's thinking specifically, detailed. Phelps didn't just picture himself winning. He mentally swam every race, stroke by stroke, like feeling the water, hearing the crowd. And the excerpt even said he'd visualize his goggles filling up.
Wait, he'd prepare for things to go wrong too. That's wild.
Exactly. Pre-programmed his responses so when the pressure's on, he stays calm, focused. And the science behind it's amazing. Our brains, they don't really differentiate between a vividly imagined experience and a real one. So good visualization is basically a performance preview. You're training those neural pathways.
Well, it's not wishing, it's rehearsing. That's huge. Okay, for those of us now, like, how do I do that? Where do we start?
Well, the excerpt, it suggests finding a quiet space, closing your eyes, and engaging all your senses, right? So say you've got a big presentation. Don't just picture the PowerPoint, but feel that confidence as you speak. Hear the audience reacting well. Even, I don't know, smell the coffee in the room if that makes it real for you.
So we're talking like making a whole mental movie almost.
Exactly, multisensory. And the more you practice, the more natural it becomes. You can even visualize your workday on your commute or a killer workout before the gym.
Love it. Giving your brain a head start. Now, this next technique surprised me, mindfulness. I'm thinking, okay, meditation apps, sure, but then they mention Kobe Bryant. Kobe.
Right, even the fiercest competitors see the value in finding that center. The excerpt said Kobe used mindfulness for focus, for handling the pressure of huge EE games.
So how does that work for like regular people, not NBA stars, but facing everyday pressure?
Mindfulness is about being aware of your thoughts, feelings, without judging them. Not emptying your mind, but observing it. Could be as simple as focusing on your breath for a few minutes, just noticing each inhale, exhale.
When you say without judging, what does that even mean?
It means you notice a thought, a feeling, but you don't label it good or bad. Just there it is, like a cloud passing by. That creates space between you and your thoughts. Super helpful under pressure.
Instead of, oh no, this is a disaster, it's okay, I'm thinking it's a disaster. What can I actually do?
Exactly. That pause lets you make better decisions on the court or in a meeting. And the beauty is mindfulness, it's doable anytime, anywhere.
Okay, so we're visualized, we're breathing. What other tricks do these champions have? Well, the excerpt gets into routines, and their example is Rafael Nadal, specifically his pre-match rituals, the water bottles, the hair tuck. It's practically a ballet.
Looks theatrical, but it's purposeful. The excerpt said those routines, they create familiarity, a sense of control, really grounding, especially under pressure.
It's like signaling your brain, all right, game time, we know the drill.
Exactly. Think about it. Nadal's been playing pro for years. Those routines are ingrained. They trigger hormones, neural stuff. It gets him in the zone to
So
perform.
it's not about copying Nadal exactly, but finding your routine, right? Like, I might not need a lucky headband for this, but maybe a sip of tea helps.
Exactly. It's about customization, not superstition, but finding what signals your brain that it's showtime.
So no lucky socks, but intentional pre-performance routines to get in the zone. Now, this next one I think we all relate to, but they use Serena Williams to illustrate it. Positive self-talk. So let's be real. We've all got that inner critic who just loves to show up at the worst times.
Oh, absolutely. Negative self-talk can be crippling. But the good news is we can train our minds to change the script, just like our bodies. The excerpt breaks it down into a few types: motivational, instructional, and mood-related.
Okay, break it down. What might Serena be saying to herself during like Wimbledon finals?
Imagine her serving for the match point. She might use motivational self-talk like, I am strong, I am powerful, I've got this. Or against a tough opponent, it might be instructional like, focus on your serve, Serena, eyes on the ball, follow through. And if those nerves come up, maybe mood-related. Stay calm, stay present, one point at a time.
Wow, it's like having a personal hype team in your head. I love it. But what about those of us who aren't like, naturally positive all the time, that inner critic can be loud.
I hear you. It takes practice, like any skill. The excerpt said, first, become aware of those negative thoughts, those automatic responses. Then you can consciously choose to challenge them, reframe them.
So not, I'm going to mess this up, but I am prepared, I'm capable, I've got this.
Exactly.
So you're basically training your inner voice to be your biggest fan instead of your worst enemy. And speaking of inner strength, that brings us to goal setting. And the excerpt uses Simone Biles as the prime example, someone who knows how to set the bar high and then just soar over it.
Yeah. And what's remarkable about Biles is not just her ambition. The excerpt says it's her approach. She doesn't just say, I want to win gold. She breaks it down. Create smaller steps, short-term targets that build towards that big vision.
So it's about having that huge goal, but then like creating a step-by-step plan to actually get there.
Exactly. And the excerpt, it really emphasizes these SMART goals.
Mm-hmm.
Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So instead of, I want to be a better athlete, it's, I want to shave 30 seconds off my mile time in the next 2 months. That specificity, it gives you something to track, to measure, and most importantly, to achieve. And each win builds momentum, builds confidence.
Okay, that's a game changer right there. I'm already thinking about how to use that in my own life. Don't just dream it, plan it, right? All right, this next section, it really hit home for me because I can be, let's just say, emotionally expressive. And they start talking about emotional regulation using Roger Federer as the epitome of grace under pressure.
Right, they call him Federer the Iceman for a reason.
Yeah.
And the excerpt talks about how he stays so calm, so composed, even in those high-stakes matches. But here's the thing. Emotional regulation, it's not about suppressing your emotions. It's about understanding them and managing them in a way that works for you.
Because we've all had those moments where our emotions threaten to, like, hijack the entire game, whether it's an actual tennis match or, you know, a work presentation.
Absolutely. And the excerpt highlights a few techniques these athletes use. One is cognitive reappraisal, which is basically reframing the situation. So instead of, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out, it's, okay, I'm feeling nervous, but this is exciting. It means I care about this.
So you're choosing how to interpret the situation. You're not letting your emotions control the narrative.
Exactly. And then there's mindfulness, which we talked about earlier. It's not just about finding your zen. It's about observing those emotions without getting swept away by them. And of course, there's always the power of breath work, those deep controlled breaths to calm down the nervous system.
It's amazing how all these strategies are connected, right? Like, mindfulness isn't just for meditation. It's for emotional regulation, focus, pretty much everything.
Absolutely. It's about building this mental toolkit with techniques you can use in all sorts of situations. And speaking of versatile, let's talk resilience. The excerpt uses the story of Michael Jordan getting cut from his high school basketball team as a prime example.
Which, if Michael Jordan can get cut, there's hope for us all, right?
Right.
But seriously, it's inspiring how he used that experience to become, well, Michael Jordan.
Exactly. That's resilience in a nutshell. The excerpt defines it as the ability to bounce back from setbacks. And not just bounce back, but come back stronger, wiser. It's about having a growth mindset, where challenges, they're not failures, they're opportunities to learn and grow.
So it's not about avoiding failure altogether, it's about how you respond to it. Because let's be real, setbacks are going to happen in sports and in life.
Right, and the excerpt emphasizes focusing on what you can control, your effort, your preparation, your attitude. You can't control the refs, the weather, or your competition.
Yeah.
But you can control how you show up.
Love that. All right, I'm feeling fired up, ready to conquer the world. What's next on our champion mindset training agenda?
Let's talk about focus, that laser-sharp concentration you see in athletes like Michael Phelps right before a big race.
It's like he's in his own world. The crowd, the noise, everything else just fades away. How do they do that?
It's about training your attention muscle, just like you train your physical muscles. The excerpt talks about mindfulness exercises, meditation apps, anything that helps you strengthen that ability to be present, to resist distractions, both internal and external.
So it's not just about being in a quiet room. It's about being able to find that inner stillness, even when things are chaotic around you.
Exactly. And it takes practice. The excerpt suggests starting small. Maybe dedicate 5 minutes each morning to focused breathing. Or try using a guided meditation app. It also mentions developing pre-performance routines to help signal your brain it's time to focus.
So if you know you're going into a meeting where you really need to be on your A game, having a pre-meeting ritual, even if it's just taking a few deep breaths and reminding yourself of your key points, that can make a world of difference.
Exactly. You're essentially conditioning your mind to focus on demand. Now, speaking of bringing your A game, let's talk confidence.
Right.
And when I think confidence, I think Serena Williams walking onto the court like she owns it.
Right. It's that unshakable self-belief. It's almost contagious. You can just feel it when you watch her play. But the excerpt says confidence isn't something you're born with. It's something you cultivate.
Exactly. It's a skill you can develop. The excerpt highlights past achievements as a source of confidence, that feeling of, I've done this before, I can do it again. It also emphasizes the importance of preparation. When you know you've put in the work, the confidence tends to follow naturally.
So it's not about being arrogant, it's about trusting in your abilities, which comes from consistent effort.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of that positive self-talk, that inner dialogue. It plays a huge role in shaping how you view yourself, how much you believe in yourself.
It's all connected. Okay, this next one feels really relevant because, let's be honest, we all feel it pressure. And the excerpt uses LeBron James, one of the most clutch players in NBA history, as an example of someone who not only handles pressure, but thrives under it.
Absolutely. And the excerpt talks about the importance of reframing pressure. So instead of viewing it as this threat, this scary thing, like, oh no, what if I choke? It's about shifting your perspective to see it as a challenge. Like, this is my moment to shine. This is where I show what I'm made of.
Okay, I love that in theory, but how do you actually rewire your brain to think that way?
It takes practice, for sure. But the excerpt suggests a few things. One is focusing on what you can control, just like with resilience. So instead of worrying about the outcome, you focus on the process, on executing each step to the best of your ability.
So instead of I have to win this game, it's I'm going to focus on my footwork, my serve, my strategy, one point at a time.
Exactly. It's about staying present, in the moment, not getting caught up in all those what-ifs. And again, deep breathing can be incredibly helpful in those high-pressure situations.
Mm-hmm.
It just helps calm your nervous system, clear out that mental chatter, and allows you to access that state of calm focus where you perform your best.
This is gold! Oh. Okay, deep divers, take notes. All right, now we're going to tackle team dynamics. And for this one, the excerpt focuses on Megan Rapinoe, and not just for her skills on the soccer field, but for her leadership and team spirit.
Right, she's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And the excerpt talks about the key elements of building a strong team. Communication has to be clear. You got to have shared goals, mutual respect, and everyone needs to understand their role.
It's about everyone working together towards that common goal, supporting each other, celebrating successes, and making sure those communication lines are open.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that leadership doesn't just mean being the captain or the CEO. It's about leading by example, inspiring your teammates, and creating a positive and supportive environment.
I love that. All right, we're getting into the final laps of this champion mindset deep dive with adaptability. And for this one, they use Novak Djokovic, who's known for being able to adjust his strategy mid-match, as the example of mental flexibility.
Right, he's like a chameleon on the court,
yeah.
Adapting to his opponent, the conditions, everything. And the excerpt really emphasizes how crucial that adaptability is, not just in sports, but in life in general. We're constantly facing unexpected challenges, curveballs, moments where we have to pivot, adjust our approach on the fly.
So how do we train our brains to be more mentally flexible, to embrace those curveballs instead of getting thrown off by them?
It starts with that growth mindset we talked about before, that belief that you can learn and adapt no matter what. The excerpt also suggests seeking out new challenges, putting yourself outside your comfort zone, because that's where the real growth happens.
So instead of shying away from new experiences, we should be actively seeking them out, even if they feel a little scary, a little uncomfortable.
Exactly. It's about embracing the unknown, trusting that you have the ability to adapt and figure it out, and don't be afraid to fail.
Because failure is just another opportunity to learn and adjust our course, right? Okay, deep divers, we're on the final stretch now, talking about something that's often overlooked, especially in our go-go-go culture recovery and regeneration.
Yeah, and the excerpt specifically highlights the importance of mental regeneration, using Michael Phelps being open about his own mental health journey as an example.
Yeah.
We tend to put so much emphasis on physical recovery, things like sleep, nutrition, hydration, but taking care of our minds is just as important.
Absolutely. So what are some practical things our listeners can do to make sure they're prioritizing their mental regeneration?
Well, the excerpt emphasizes things like mindfulness practices, which, as we've discussed, have a ton of benefits. It also talks about engaging in hobbies, activities that you genuinely enjoy that help you disconnect from the daily grind and just recharge.
So whether it's painting, playing music, spending time in nature, reading a good book, whatever brings you joy and allows you to unplug.
Exactly. And of course, getting enough sleep is crucial. I don't just mean the number of hours, but the quality of sleep as well.
It's like hitting the reset button for your mind, your body, everything.
Totally. Giving yourself permission to really unwind, come back refreshed.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, all this champion mindset stuff,
Yeah.
what are like the big takeaways, whether someone's aiming for the Olympics or just want to crush their to-do list, you know?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing is these strategies, they're not just for elite athletes. They're for everyone. And they're skills. You can learn them, get better at them, just like anything else. We talked about visualization being like practice for your brain, how mindfulness can totally change your focus, how you handle emotions, the routines that set you up for success, silencing that inner critic with positive self-talk.
It's a lot.
It is. But that's the point, right? It's not about just one thing. It's about weaving it all together, a more holistic approach. If you want to get fancy,
Love it. Though I'm betting some listeners are like, okay, how do I start? It can feel kind of overwhelming.
Oh, for sure. I'd say begin with self-awareness.
Yeah.
Throughout your day, just pay attention to your thoughts, your feelings, how you react to stuff. You start noticing patterns, your default settings, then you can actually apply these techniques where they'll help. Challenge those negative thoughts, manage your energy better all that day.
So start with knowing yourself, then build that mental toolkit we talked about.
Exactly.
This was awesome. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the champion mindset. And to everyone listening, remember, being great, it's not just about physical strength or talent, it's about mastering your mind. So get out there and unleash your inner champion.